Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Mike Shope
versus
the Bulldog.
And it is the clash of the titans. In one corner, you have
Mike Shope.
And he is mad.
I'm sorry if I offended you by comparing a third overall pick who plays defensive tackle from Alabama with another exact same thing from 7 years ago.
And then in the other corner, you have
the Bulldog.
And he's mad.
I'm taking over, all right? It's a coup. But I come in, it's bloody. If you want to, on a case-by-case basis, sport-by-sport, come talk to the king and present your case, I'm cutting off heads.
So that's about it.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
I or somebody is laughing during yours. No one was laughing during mine. I don't know. Yours is better because somebody's laughing at it.
Yeah, I guess. Yours was, that was tense. Oh, that was really tense. Mine is just, I'm talking about replay, which, you know, is just whatever.
I'm so glad the Bills didn't do that trade.
Yeah.
You know? Every year you have some amount of faith in them that, you know, just depends on who you are, how you look at it. But it has been, this goes without saying, it has been many, many years since the Bills were expected to be good going into a season. And if they're expected to be good, then, you know, we all have faith in them. Everybody, if you're super fan that doesn't care what's right, you just love them and you defend them for everything, then you always have faith in them.
What is that like?
If you're someone more like me, then you may have very little faith in them year to year. But when they're good and it's agreed upon and they're like not even New England necessarily, but the Chiefs are or something, then we're all...
What a concept.
We all sort of believe in it.
Right. Yeah. But that's what it used to be like when we were younger men. It was like that.
Yeah, so for me, you take your cue on that front from their moves, you know, because they haven't been good. So what did they do to change what they were going into this next season? And that's the kind of move. Like the Bills definitely haven't graduated from moves like that, trade up kind of moves. I mean, they did more of that this year too, just not that one.
Right.
But if they even considered, as was reported, it was reported that they did, if they even considered trading up with the Jets for a defensive lineman, you heard me. I mean, I just wouldn't know what to say. That clip is a reaction to somebody who's mad at me for feeling that way, which I don't really get.
For making the comparison between
Darius,
you know, who, not that you're saying different. Like, I never really... I guess the whole time, my role in that play, if you will, was I'll believe it when I see it. I think there would have been motivation for them to try to sway teams to think that they were moving and whatever. And I don't know if they seriously considered it or not. All I know is they didn't do it. And if that was because the Jets refused to do it, great. Whatever. I mean, it'd be better if they just didn't want to do it. Obviously, that's the best case scenario, but... all's well that ends well. They stayed where they are. They got a good player, hopefully, anyway. They get good reviews for the player they got.
And, that was smokescreen season.
Off we go. Right. Yeah.
Even the day of is smokescreen season.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. That's what I thought, anyway. But, you know, I don't know if I'm right. I mean, it's just how I felt about it at the time. It was more just to sort of try to keep my sanity.
I'd rather live in a world, though, where it's like, would the Bills trade up for a defensive lineman? Absolutely not. Next question. I mean, that's what I would like to be able to have in my life as far as the Bills go.
Obviously, I can't tell you that.
We are not in that world.
No, we're not.
No. I mean, they've done a lot of it. They may have been close to doing that. I'm just still, like, whenever I'm reminded of it, I'm relieved. That night, I will not soon forget that night.
Same here.
I say that, had they made the trade, it would be really the case. The fact that they didn't takes the pressure off, takes the urgency of that off. But it's just the way I felt in here that afternoon and then that evening. Just, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, let's hope we remember it because Ed Oliver is so good that, you know, it's some little postscript to, you know, some conversations you're having about how good he looks and how well he's playing. And like, well, thank God they didn't try to get the better guy. Really, the guy that, you know, was more highly rated anyway, the guy from Alabama.
Yeah, right? Like, if you like, and I think pretty much everybody does, if you like that the Bills have Ed Oliver, then we don't, it's not fair to just sort of move that to another position later on. This, because this is the information they had, and this is, you know, how the guys do, that's what gets used to judge how you did in your draft.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, this is how you, this is what, when it's fair to do that, because this is when you get to know as much as they know, or that, you know, you don't have that other, you don't have the results to come in and sort of screw with you. This, when you make the pick, you know this much. Here's what this guy was in college. Here are his workout stats, everything. And I think not just fans, but I think almost everybody about the Bills thinks they did great.
Yep.
That the player is just what they needed and they would want with that pick in that draft. So there it is. And if he bombs somehow and the Jet guy is great, what are you supposed to say? Well, you know what people do say. Oh, they should have traded up. But that's just not how it should work.
Yep.
That's not how it should work.
Well, I, too, am glad that they didn't trade up, and I think the draft worked out very well.
Now we have another draft.
Yes, we do. It's hockey time.
I don't have anybody that I want for that. Maybe I will by the end of the week.
Yeah.
Paul, maybe we'll talk to Paul today. I'm sure he'll be on at least a couple times between now and Friday night.
We will talk to Paul today.
He's good.
He's good for 6 o'clock tonight, yeah.
You know, I know a couple names.
Yeah.
But
he's going to tell you again about Caulfield, who's 5'7" and change, and then mentioned Brinkett, the player who was with Chicago and scored 40 goals, and that some of us saw play in Erie in the OHL because he happened to be on McDavid's team. Like that's where I first knew of that name, of that player, and he scored a ton of goals in the OHL, but he was tiny, and so he didn't get drafted until the second round, and now he scored 40 with Chicago. So Caulfield scored 72 playing for the National Team Development Program this year. And, you know, maybe the success of DeBrinket, Johnny Gaudreau, other littler players will lead to Caulfield being drafted before the Sabres could even get him at 7.
You know, this is the thing this week. If there aren't trades, too. I mean, the draft is this week. So I certainly recognize that. But My interest in the Sabres is really between 90 and 100% what they are this season. And also it's between 90 and 100% that whatever they do in the draft will not affect that.
Sure, yeah. I wouldn't expect even if they are lucky enough to draft, I'll say it that way, this player that I just described, Caulfield, yeah, I don't think he plays for them this year. So it's not going to have any impact on what they do. What they do with their 31st pick, which is the last pick of the first round now because the Blues won the Stanley Cup, you know, that could impact them this year because they could use that piece as a trade, in a trade, I should say.
Yeah, I didn't mean to say that trades couldn't affect that.
Yeah.
It's just like who they draft, whenever it is. I mean, who they draft will not affect this season.
Yeah, and this week to me is like I'm following all the guys I follow all year long. That doesn't change in the summer with hockey. And there, I just saw 5 minutes before we started, just going through, and I'm not sure. It might have been Pierre LeBrun. Had a quote from Bob Murray, who's the GM of the Sharks. Bob Murray or Doug Murray?
Doug Wilson is
Doug
the GM
Wilson,
of the Sharks.
Thank you. Bob Murray is Anaheim. Doug Wilson, thank you, is the GM. And they're in the news because, of course, they just signed Erik Karlsson today. And he was quoted as saying, it's been busier, there's been more communication amongst GMs about trades than at any point since I've been in the league.
Oh, my gosh. This again?
So, you know, I buy that every year because this is it. I'm not expecting the Sabres to get rich and improve drastically by signing free agents July 1st. So trades are what I have to live on.
I love trades. I would love for that to actually turn out. You can't even know that. You can't even know how many conversations you've had. Your brain would not be capable of that, of telling you whether it's more than other years. And what? Is Doug Wilson here claiming to speak for the collective? Like that we've all had, we've done the math and we've all checked and we've had more conversations. I mean, you wouldn't even know that. It just goes to show you how little it's worth. But I hope there are trades. I love trades. I think they should be mandated.
Yeah, don't rain on my parade. I love that Wilson said this, and I'm looking forward to trades. Give me trades. Bring me all the trades.
This was the expansion draft, right? The expansion draft was supposed to be so nutty, right? When Vegas entered, and it was like totally not nutty. It was vanilla ice cream. Not even the good kind, the kind you like, French vanilla ice cream.
The best kind, French vanilla.
It was that bad.
It was delicious.
You know, hopefully there are trades. I was remembering, it was Sean McIndoe, I think, who wrote about how, I don't know if this was his idea or it was someone else's that he co-opted or just used for this article, how great it would be if every NHL team had to trade its first round pick, that you were forced to do that. And you could do that different ways. You could do that by trading for a player, like the Blues did. You could do that by trading for another pick. Right? I'm going to trade for next year's pick, or I'm going to trade for 2 seconds, or I'm going to trade for, you know, whatever.
Or I'm going to trade you my seventh pick and somebody else for your fourth pick.
Yes.
Sure.
Anything like that. But the bottom line is you can't use your own first round pick. You have to have someone else's, or no, it's not even that you have to have someone else's. You just cannot use your own. And I love that idea so much. It's so smart. Because what you want as a fan is you want that action. And I know the cap, all the excuses that get made for the league, the cap and the contracts and everything, how you just don't see trades, maybe like you used to. You just don't see very many interesting trades. But this way, if teams had, how great would that be right now for Friday night? How much would that add to Friday night? If the Sabres had to trade their first round pick by Friday night for something. Mm-hmm.
It would add, yeah, and everybody else had to do likewise.
Yes,
yeah, it would add a lot.
It'd be so great.
Yeah,
and the reason I thought of this Saturday is because of in that fantasy draft. So I had this idea when the Sabres had the Islanders pick after trading Thomas Vanek, and they're walking around with the Islanders pick for like a year, and then it became 2 years, right?
Right.
And I said what they should do is, but this would never happen in sports because sports is not as much fun as it should be. What they should do is shop the Islanders pick to a team that expects to be better than the Islanders. Remember this?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Go to Philadelphia. Hey, Philadelphia. Hey, just, you know, you're having a beer with them at a draft or some owners meeting or something. Do you think you'll be better than the Islanders? What does Philadelphia say? Of course.
Yep.
We're always better than the Islanders. Of course. We always think we're good. Obviously. Great. All right. Then I will trade you the Islanders first round pick for yours. And if you're right, mm-hmm. you'll benefit. But if you're wrong, I will.
Right.
Because I'm not trying to be a jerk here. We're friends and competitors and everything. I happen to think the Islanders will be better than you. It's not even your team, so there's a little safety in it. It's not just
right.
I think my team will be better than yours, but that's fine too. But you know, the Islanders makes it a little bit more comfortable, I think, to actually figure out. So these trades do not happen, but they do happen in. They did. One of them did happen on Saturday.
Right.
In fantasy.
Oh,
because there's a guy.
Well, good.
We had our draft. No, this is cool. Like, we had our draft, and one guy said, I think my team will be better than yours, so I will trade you my number one pick for your number one pick next year. And if I'm right, I will draft earlier and be better than you, and vice versa. So you could do that. If you had this rule that teams had to trade their number one pick, there could just be that. I'm trading, you know, you'd have to do it in the future because now you know the order. But for next year, mm-hmm. I'll trade you mine for yours because I think who would be a fun team to do that with?
Who?
You think you're going to be better? Some other team that was better than you this year, most teams.
Right.
The Blackhawks or somebody. Well, that's not a good example, but some team that, you know, Pittsburgh, whatever. Who cares? Doesn't matter which one. You go to somebody and go, you know, I want to put my chips on Buffalo. I'll put my chips on myself. I will trade you my number one pick for yours. Let's see what happens. The very least, be really fun to talk about.
Right. Well, a part of the reason why I like what so now I'm really gun shy. Wilson, the GM of the Sharks, said today. One reason I'm taking it to heart. Well, first of all, I already admitted I want to. Like I need trades. I need there to be trades. because if there aren't trades, I'm spinning my wheels, and then I'm overpaying some free agent, and I'm probably not going to be a lot better than I was last year, just because I want to be and because I hired Ralph Krueger. I think I need to do something significant to the roster. Trades are the way to do that. So that's one. I want to believe it. Two, and this is maybe more wishful thinking than anything else, but the all of the talk about offer sheets, if something happens on that front, then that could, like, to me, that's why I read that comment and I take it to heart and I think, like, that's believable, because this could be a summer like no other summer. If someone is going to step out and try to get the Colorado guy or Marner or, like, whomever, all right, Patrick Laine or another guy from, if someone's going to do that, then maybe five people will do it, and then it'll just, everything will go crazy. Because teams will be maybe looking to trade guys away that they thought they were going to be able to control and sign.
So your connection is that maybe some of these conversations that this Shark guy is claiming to know are just all over the place would be about that?
Well, yeah, would be happening.
Or threats?
Threats, fail-safes, insurance, whatever. Like if I've got intel that tells me they're coming for my guy at a number that I cannot live with, that's going to force my hand, then maybe I try to make a good deal ahead of time. And you have the cap room to sign that player to more money than I could, so you can keep him.
If it were the plan, you can use the Sabres or use anybody else, whoever you want. If Team X wanted to sign Mitch Marner to what?
$12 million a year.
For 7 years?
Yeah.
If some team wanted to do that, tell me why they should or shouldn't go public. Why shouldn't they just announce that?
Well,
if they don't, they look bad, like they failed?
No. Well, they probably would tell you that they'd be worried about that, and maybe there's something to it. It's not why I would think about it. I would be worried about if it's ahead of July 1 and I haven't been able to actually get the guy's signature on the offer yet, that Toronto would preemptively trade him for stuff that they feel can help them right now more than four number one picks will.
Okay, fine.
So
if I'm the Sabres or something, if I'm some other team and that's what happens, maybe that's good for me.
Maybe it is, but if I ultimately want the player,
yeah, well,
I may not get the player. Like, so I'm not just looking to create chaos. I mean, chaos would be fun for us, I think, to watch, and, you know, whether it benefits the Sabres in the long run, so be it. But it would be fun. Give me a circus. But if my goal is to get the player, I probably am better off not letting it be known that I'm going to sign this player to an offer sheet.
Your goal ultimately is to win the cup, and that's to be the best team you can be relative to other teams. And if you weaken Toronto somehow by some course of action like that, then you haven't failed.
Not entirely.
You know, if you want the player, you want the player, and he gets to decide. He has to sign it whenever.
Right.
He has to agree to it anyway. So, you know, I'm just trying to conjure something where maybe I don't know if I'm even allowed to talk to him. But if I'm not allowed to talk to him,
not
I'm like,
yet. Yeah.
You know, I am the GM of the. I would like to sign Mitch Marner. Here, I'll tell you. I would like to sign him to this. I will offer him this contract. If he doesn't want it, he doesn't want it. Like when Lorne Michaels went public offering the Beatles $10,000
to reunite
to show up
SNL.
Yeah, for the Beatles to come back, and then George Harrison does, and Lorne Michaels is in the hallway telling them, no, the deal was. For all the Beatles. Right. I mean, 2,500 is just, like, he goes over that and everybody laughs. So, I don't know, maybe there'd be some advantage in doing that. This is the kind of thing that definitely, especially in hockey, but in general, would be unpopular with like your peers. The league wouldn't like it. GMs wouldn't like it. Why are you doing this? You're crazy. You're messing with the equilibrium of the league and everything.
I think, even without the circus aspect of it, if it's okay for me to refer to that as like a circus aspect, if someone does step out of line and sign one of these high profile restricted free agents to an offer sheet, I would imagine there's going to be derision from other people in the league. I thought we had an agreement.
Yeah. And what do you say to that? What would you, the commentator, say to that? So
I'm
what?
Trying to win.
So what? Good for this guy. Good for this team.
I'm trying to win.
That's the whole
win.
Thing about offer sheets. You want? Are you really there to be your best, like you always say in every press conference? We want to be the best team we can be. Okay, then some of these contracts should get made. Some of these deals should get made. Not necessarily all of them, even for a guy at the top, because of the compensation. It's stiff.
Yep.
But it's still plausible that your team is better for it. And for a GM personally, he's not there at the other end anyway. Maybe he's going to get this all-star player for free. You know, just all you have to do is give him money and the draft picks. Well, okay, the draft picks. I need to win or I'll be gone anyway. Murray should have done this. He was perfect for it.
Mm-hmm.
He did. Why didn't this happen? Maybe, well, he had draft picks too. There would have been a fit. Somehow, somebody in the league would have been a fit for this.
Yeah.
I mean, almost assuredly. But he was exactly the right type to do it. And he was trading away picks to get O'Reilly and Kane and Leonard. Like, he was doing all this stuff. One more. Let's see one more thing. You've got Jack Eichel right away. You have all that stuff right away. Let's go do one more thing.
Yeah. I might say, I mean, it's funny. It's only 3 years ago, right? I mean, he had this job 3 years ago. Murray did. It's so recent, but it feels like a part of this offer sheet wars conversation that has been around really all hockey season. Like, if you were paying attention to this part of hockey, it was out there. It's, I don't know that before this crop of young guys coming up, there's ever been this caliber that everyone sort of agrees that player at 22 is worth $12 million a year. You know, like, I think all the managers might have groupthinked themselves into thinking, bridge contract for that guy. I'm gonna affect the salary structure in the league in a way that's gonna hurt me eventually. I don't want to do this yet. But now we're at, I think GMs, teams, scouts are more convinced.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Of the quality of the younger players earlier and earlier.
Yeah.
And so this group of guys, you've got ready-made guys 3 years into their careers that just look like rock stars. And you're like, I'm convinced he's going to be great for 10 years. So, fine. I'll pay whatever it takes.
That's right.
I don't think before now, even just 3 years ago, I don't know that we were there yet.
That's right. That's right. That's been, that's evident. Yes. So, here's hoping. Well, I'll raise a glass to that. I need a glass. Joe, I need a glass. The Bloody Marys.
The question is there a Bloody Mary in the glass?
Yep, there isn't. If there is, I'm sending it back. Mm. If there is a salad on top of this Bloody Mary, which sometimes there kind of looks like there is, I will also send it back.
Yeah, they look like derby hats on top of these Bloody Marys.
I'll give you the latest and final update on that eventually here. Joe and I had our draft, and Bloody Marys were served, and we have opinions.
Okay.
It's perfect for this.
I'm counting on them all being abhorrent, these opinions about Bloody Marys.
Yeah, I mean, knowing your food taste, you're sure to not like what we have to say. Ben Solak, Draft Network. Ben Solak wrote interesting, seen largely as, I think, even-handed analysis of Josh Allen going into year two. And we'll talk to him about Allen and the Bills' upcoming season. And I'm being told Paul Hamilton will be on too.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's at 6?
Yes, he's good for 6.
Paul. All right, he's going out west for the draft, if not also the awards. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Anything we've talked about? 803-0550. Give us a call. This is WGR.
We're going to get a good player at 7. We're going to get a player that we like a lot. We're going to get a player that's going to have an impact in the organization down the road. The way we've looked at it is that 3 to 10 is somewhat of a grouping. So the player that gets selected 10 in 8 years might be as good as the player that's selected. And that's where the fun part starts after 1 and 2, is that any player could kind of go in any order from 3, 4, 5, and 6. We're sitting at 7. We're going to get a good player. We're going to get a good pick of the rest of that grouping, we'll call it.
Sabres Director of Amateur Scouting, Ryan Jankowski. Suppose you can believe that where the Sabres are affords them to one of several good options. It's kind of what they always say, too. These guys don't come on the air right before drafts and tell you how they're stuck. There are six good players. They never say that. Other people say that. Our draft was like that, I would say, Joe. There were really maybe just Josh Jacobs. We talked to Sigmund Bloom on Friday. We had a rookie football draft. And Sigmund was like, after one, there's all kinds of things you can do. And that is kind of how it played out for us, I thought.
I thought there was a solid group of five that I was hoping to get into, though, that I did not. So there was a definite cutoff.
Joe was six, Bulldog. I was five. We talked every day for 2 months about this draft and positioning and everything like that.
Tell me about it.
You know this. The walls have heard enough. And at the moment it comes to be my turn, I get an offer. 10 and 17 for five. I'm like, yeah, okay. And Joe goes, oh, no. When the guy who trades with me.
He knew who you were going to.
He knew.
You would have done it, five, would have agreed with him.
The guy I wanted very badly going into that draft, I thought there was a chance Mike could take him, but I thought there was also a good chance that he wouldn't. When I saw the guy that was trading up to five, I knew I had no shot.
Darrell Henderson of the Rams. Gurley's backup, and Gurley might be injured. Maybe. I mean, all we're hearing is more Gurley talk today. I heard it in sports. It's really just the same thing again.
Arthritis, yeah. Right.
It's just the same thing again. Like, right. This, we know this is the situation. We don't know if he can play.
Don't you cool fantasy people call that guy Gurley's handcuff? Is that what that is?
Yes, Bulldog. Probably.
I shouldn't try so hard to be liked.
That's what that was?
That's what that was. That was an attempt to show you that I don't just hate both of you.
Okay. Well, that's. I'm glad you explained it. 803-0550 is the number. Talk Josh Allen with Ben Solak of the Draft Network in half an hour. Lines are open now. My brother-in-law, who lives in Toronto, is at the parade today. Is it still going? He's been there for hours, if it's still going.
I believe it is, yes. They're at the stage, I think, now.
Oh, they are. Okay. Yeah. The way it's, I was listening to coverage of that on the way in this afternoon, and what was said on the station I was listening to was that they were expected, the plan was for the buses, the parade, to basically get to City Hall and the square there at 12:30. But that everything had just been delayed because the route was just crammed with traffic and people and pedestrians. Just the whole city is just gridlocked. And that the parade was sort of frozen and couldn't get there. And
so the Raptors are back from Vegas?
They are back from Vegas, and they were on buses leaving. I guess they left the CNE grounds is where they staged the parade. And from there to City Hall is not that far. If you're familiar with downtown Toronto at all, it's not really that far, but it was taking hours and hours and hours for them to get there. Oof. And the square has been packed since early this morning, and I don't know. I mean, it's hot, and I don't think you can really get in or out of there at this point. If you're, like, in the middle of it, I don't know. I read reports of people being pulled out of there unconscious from, like, just heat exhaustion. There's no water. It sounds like a pretty tough scene in spots.
Yeah. None of that sounds good to
me. No, that doesn't sound like something I'd want to be a part of at all.
I also think that, like, knowing my brother-in-law, he's a Toronto guy, this would be maybe the first parade he's ever had. I mean, he might have gone to the baseball ones. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But it would just be, like, almost important.
Yeah.
If you're a fan to go.
To have
you would
some,
feel like
right.
you needed to go.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, like, I've just always been very negative about parades. Just why do I want to be at that? For the reasons you're laying out.
Yeah, what is being described as happening in Toronto is exactly why you wouldn't want to be at it.
Right. That's why don't all those people. Joe went to the Cavaliers parade the one year.
Yeah, and it was basically the same. Like, the players were supposed to get there by noon. Me and the friends I went with had gotten to the site by like 10 o'clock, and it was already packed. And like right in the middle, it was getting hot. It was getting cramped. And I'm sitting there for 20 minutes, and I'm just like, this isn't going to be good. Like, I got to sit here for another 2 hours. Not happening. So I bailed. And I thought it was a good thing I bailed because, like, the Raptors here were late. I don't think the Cavs made it to that stage until like 4 o'clock. So.
Yeah. I mean,
it would have been a 6-hour wait standing in the sun.
It sounds like a day from hell.
Right.
But are you a fan? This is what fans do when you win a championship. I've never done this. I'm going.
Right. I definitely would not want any part of that square. Like, I know that. But if if the route is publicized at some point, like, you know what the route is going to be, I could see trying to hopefully stake out a spot where I can at least be a part of the parade without being at the thing where guys are hammered and swearing. Because that's what really ends up happening at that stage. That on stage, it's just, it's Brett Hull singing Gloria.
Brett Hull.
It's hammered people who play for the team probably swearing. It's who's the Eagles center that was?
Kelsey.
Yeah, right. That's what that is. And, I can watch that on TV. I'm going to see all the highlights of that on Twitter. I might want to just see the thing roll by. Like, hey, there's Quiet. Yeah, awesome. Cool.
It's probably a pretty happy scene, though.
Yeah, like, right. I don't think anyone's mad. But if you're in amounts to a packed venue, really packed venue, without access to anything, really. You can't come or go. And it's hour upon hour, and it's just building. Yeah, I think the mood changes. You might see people start to behave, in ways that they otherwise maybe wouldn't and wouldn't even be proud of afterward. But it's just, it's fatigue, it's exhaustion, it's fear, maybe even. Like, I'm stuck in here. What am I gotta get out of here.
This is the closure for the season, the parade. There's nothing else after this.
Yeah.
Is the draft tomorrow?
I believe it is.
I think the draft is tomorrow.
The NBA draft is tomorrow
already?
No, sorry, Thursday.
Thursday.
Really?
Thursday.
They beat the NHL to the draft? I didn't even know that. Okay.
Yeah, it's this week.
All right.
So.
Wow, everything's kind of
tight.
You.
That's tight.
Yeah, it is.
Game 7 would have been last night.
Right. That's right.
I was watching the golf yesterday. We won.
Yeah, we won. Was close.
Not that close. Kind of a little bit close.
It was, yeah. I mean, I
guess, we got first, Brian got second.
Right. And the fact that the guy that was second was Koepka was there for the whole, the last 3 hours of the thing. Really from the, what did he birdie? Three of the first four holes or something like that?
Maybe.
To start. And just I don't know, who's this Woodland guy? Is he going to fold? Like the whole day I just sort of thought, he's going to fold.
You did?
Yeah. Just Koepka's a machine. He's going to just keep coming. And the guy, credit to the guy, he made some great shots and he hung in there.
Right.
And he won the thing. He got it home.
Right.
Even slammed home a birdie he didn't need.
That's right. That was cool.
That was pretty cool.
He didn't get to tap in to win the tournament.
No, right.
Rose had to finish out and end the tournament.
Rose had to finish out.
The guy had the nerve to make the 40-footer, whatever that was.
Yeah, it was long.
I woke up yesterday thinking Rose was my choice. Like, Rose. He's tough. That guy, I watched most of Saturday, very little of yesterday. And on Saturday, a couple times, Rose was, it was like this. Woodland made a couple of miraculous saves. And Rose made a putt right on top of him. Like, he just did not give this guy Woodland any room. And going into Sunday, I'm like, Rose is going to be there. The one thing I think I know is that this guy is going to put a score up.
So much for that.
And that's the one thing that didn't happen.
Yeah, he folded.
Like, he kind of blew it. Yeah. And that's what's great about it. Like, you think, and I fight this fight a lot. I just think athletes now are better than ever at handling the pressure. Every sport, just it makes logical sense to me that they would be because of all the training exceeds in so many different ways what it used to, and that's mentally as well. And the stakes, the big money that's on the line in sports means just like a bigger talent pool, more everything. And while there's still people who can get nervous, athletes I just think they are better equipped than ever. It makes logical sense to me that it would happen less often. That choking would happen less often. And I think it does. And what in team sports, you're seeing new teams winning. Toronto Raptors didn't choke. The St. Louis Blues didn't choke. The Washington Capitals didn't choke. They were kind of known for it, and they didn't. And this just keeps happening and happening. And here's golfers, too. Who was Koepka 2 years ago?
That's right.
Like, he was a guy who was just a, he was a name, hadn't won it. Look how, look at his run. Even without winning yesterday, what an amazing run this guy is on. And here, Woodland is another one. He's like, he just he's kept, in the lead, and he's kept doing well.
He just kept making all the, as you're watching, it's like, you know, as a viewer, and if you have a stake like we had, you know, not huge, but still, you know, all right, I definitely would like it a lot more if this guy won. And it's like every little three-footer, you're just waiting for a flub. And he didn't miss any of those. He, you know, again, they weren't, he made some really long ones, but the nervy ones, the ones that you, you know, oh, boy, oh, he's going to really want that one back. That just never happened. He just, bang.
Inevitably, then the announcers, who are all former players, will tell you, watch out now. If you miss one of those, they'll tell you, watch out now. That's going to be in his head. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it probably doesn't mean anything, and they just par the next hole or something. Yeah, this is just not surprising. I think that, you know, you see guys who would never want it, and they're just steady and good. And he was all that. I gave away 30 of my 50 already, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I bet 20 on a non-American to win.
Okay.
Thinking Rose would win.
Uh-huh.
Or Oosthuizen.
Uh-huh.
And then I put 10 on Oosthuizen, 14 to 1. Like, this guy's in fourth.
Yeah.
And he's pretty solid. This guy could put, like, four under up there. And
sure, yep.
If something goes screwy, could win with that.
Yeah.
But he didn't have much. He didn't have a very good day.
No,
it was just okay.
Yeah, I think early he looked like he might make some noise, and then it just sort of got away from him, as I recall. I watched. The only part of it I missed was driving this when it's on the West Coast, or even when it's not. The only parts of the final round I ever miss are driving to my sister's house in East Amherst and then driving back. So I missed like 20 minutes twice. Basically.
Yesterday?
Yeah, yesterday, yeah. As it turned out, the first 20 minutes, the leaders weren't even playing yet. Because they didn't tee off till 5:30, so
right. You know, so Father's Day is at your sister's.
Yes,
that's the tradition.
Yes,
butter lambs.
Nope, no.
That's only Easter.
That doesn't
creep into Father's
that
Day.
That is only Easter. No, yeah.
Eggs.
No eggs.
Egg hunt.
No,
nothing like that.
No, there's just
what's the drink of choice?
Just golf. She usually does a really good job with a selection of beers, but I did not have any yesterday. I had I drank pop all day.
Pop.
Yeah, I know. Weird. Well,
there's got to be a story here.
She was stuck.
I keep here, you're talking like this lately.
Listen, this happened. She ran out of like she was counting on me. I'm usually good for some beer, you know me. She had a couple of 2 liters of pop, and I poured through one, and she had to send her friend to the store to get more. Pop because I
oh
cut
God.
Into the pop.
What an awful
supply.
Story! What an awful story for different reasons.
Yeah, no beer for me.
She
yesterday.
Had to go out to get in the middle of the party.
Yeah,
to get more soda for you. Yikes! Ben Solak at 4. Lines open at 803-0550. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.
Time for today's deal of the day. It's a project to feed your appetite. Buffalo Pizza Project invites you to get to work on their delicious menu. You get a $20 gift card right now for the Buffalo Pizza Project for just $10. That's 50% off. It's the deal of the day from MyBuffaloPerks.com. Find details there, MyBuffaloPerks.com.
Josh McCown is retiring, which means he wasn't retired.
That's it for the McCowns. I don't think Luke is active. No more McCowns.
There's got to be a kid coming up at this point. Josh McCown was up there.
Yeah.
He came in the league in 2002, so he could have
He could.
Kid.
Yeah, I've not heard any rumblings about any new McCowns.
Maybe he's one of these guys that, like, yes, I have a son, but I don't want him playing football. Maybe he's like that.
Or maybe there's a kid out there that doesn't carry the last name because he doesn't want to be judged harshly or favorably against the legacy of the McCowns.
Which would it be?
So he wants to separate. He wants to blaze his own trail.
Are the McCown shoes big shoes?
So he's carrying,
how big are the shoes?
He's carrying the mom's maiden name as he begins his path
which,
to...
Which, strangely, is Aikman.
Journeyman quarterback status.
Are McCown shoes big shoes? Yeah. Anybody in the league. Yes, is the
sure.
answer. Anybody
yeah,
right. in the league.
Yeah, we talked about this
at
last week. Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
But you know... It's relative.
Yeah, right.
Five games against the Bills. in the career of Josh McCown. He really didn't play too much more often against anybody else. Like his career is really interesting and kind of spread out like that.
10 teams over 17 years.
Yeah, I mean, he got around. I mean, he never played for the Bills, which is very surprising.
Right.
He never played for the Bills even in the preseason.
Considering,
everybody kind of did that.
Considering how poor they've been at the quarterback position, it's amazing that a guy that played for 10 teams in 17 seasons never found his way here.
I'll get you a game on this guy.
All right.
Later. There should be one.
Good.
Right?
Look forward to it.
Basically, this is the entire span of Joe's life watching sports, Josh McCown. I don't expect him to have realized it, but when he started watching football, Josh McCown was starting to play in the NFL.
Right.
And now that has ended.
Right. This is could this be your first, like, oh, wow, that guy retired?
Yeah. Just like a guy that I just know in the NFL like my whole life. Like playing, like he was in Madden like when I was like 7, 8 years old.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right. Yeah, pretty
he
soon.
Wasn't very good in it.
Joe, you're 24?
Yes.
Pretty soon you get to, I remember this guy's entire career. It has to be a little better than this guy.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Yeah, right. Like Gronkowski. But like that's not quite long enough to have that effect. But yes, it's getting there.
When they start, Barry Sanders for me, when Barry Sanders retired and I had watched him play for Oklahoma State. And I remember thinking, like, oh my God, he's that's over.
Right.
I am that age. I am
right.
Now.
Yeah.
I remember him before he played in the NFL, and now he is done playing in the NFL. So that's gonna happen. We all go through it. You'll be all right. You'll be back. You'll be okay. You can handle it. Josh Allen going into year two. How old is Josh Allen? Same as Joe?
He is
You have to guess it exactly right.
He is 23 years old.
That would be my guess, too.
I would say 23 as well. He's 23. Right. May 21st, 1996.
Got it.
He just turned 23, less than a month ago. How will year two go? And what does this analyst, Benjamin Solak, see from Allen in year one? He wrote extensively about it, and a lot of people seem to like this article. I know I did. We'll talk to the author after sports. Josh Allen, the subject, next. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.